This morning's New Testament scripture comes from Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." And now I believe it's time for children's moments.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today? All right. You know, it's spring, it's getting warm weather, and we're starting all our spring sports. Baseball has started, hasn't it?
I play soccer.
And soccer has started, and people are getting ready to go out and play golf. And today, I brought a fishing pole. Have you ever gone fishing?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I built my fishing pole. Something caught the screen, and it broke.
Oh, my. Well, I brought a fishing pole today to help with our story. I'd like you to imagine going fishing, okay? Now, you know, some people really like it because you can be out there in the quiet and you can kind of just listen to nature and the birds and things, but some people don't really care for it because, you know, it's kind of frustrating not to catch any fish. But let's pretend we're going to go fishing. Let's pretend we're all in a boat, okay? And we're going to go fishing, and I'm sitting up here and I'll have you back there because there's a real hook on this, and I want to be careful. When Delaney, I hope I don't hit you because I always fish off the left side of the boat because that's the lucky side, you know, left and lucky. Both begin with L. So I always fish out to the left side of the boat. Now we're fishing, and as my luck would have it, we haven't caught anything yet. And we're waiting and we're waiting, and it's getting late, and we're going, I'm getting frustrated. And we haven't caught any fish yet, and it goes through the night, and it's coming up to morning, and the sun's starting to rise, and we still haven't caught any fish. Well, we're getting angry and frustrated and hungry, but we haven't caught any fish until we see somebody out on shore out there, and he's talking to us. Listen.
"Hi, have you had any luck?"
"No, we haven't caught any fish yet."
"Well, if you would put your fishing pole on the right side of the boat, you will catch a lot of fish."
But the left side is my lucky, well, it hasn't been lucky yet, has it? Now, isn't that kind of crazy? What difference does it make whether you're on the left side or the right side? The fish are underneath, right? They can swim from one side or the other. Would you put it on the right side? Well, you know what? This is a story that our Bible lesson is about today. That a number of Jesus' disciples went out fishing. And I believe it was Peter that said, I'm going to go out fishing. And it was getting late at night. And he went out to fish. And several of his friends, disciples, said, "Well, I'm going to come with too, and we're going to go fishing." And they were all out there, and they were out there all night, just like we were pretending. And they didn't catch any fish, and they're getting tired, and they're getting hungry, and they're getting frustrated, and then they're getting angry. And as the sun's coming up, they notice somebody standing on the shore. And that person tells them to fish off the right side of the boat. Did they do it? Yes, they did it. And guess what happened? They caught a lot of fish. They were just catching them like crazy. They were pulling in their lines. They're trying to pull in their nets. They were catching not only a lot, but big fish. And they went on shore. You know who that was talking to them from the shore? It was Jesus. Jesus was telling them to fish from the other side. Jesus was giving them some guidance and some direction, and they followed him. And because of that, they were able to bring the fish up on shore. They had a great breakfast together and were able to eat bread and fish and be with Jesus and talk with him. And the lesson that we come with today is that we need to follow what Jesus has in store for us. Now, Jesus is not going to talk to us necessarily like that voice out there. You may not hear him, but you're going to feel him. You're going to hear him in your mind. You're going to feel him in your body. You're going to feel him in your heart. And when Jesus leads you to do something, you want to follow him. You want to do what's right and go along with what Jesus has in store for you, because he's got a lot of great things in store for you. Let us close with a prayer. Now, I know we usually do an echo prayer, but not today. I want you to listen to this one, okay? So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we know that you have wonderful blessings in store for us when we faithfully follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that we will always be obedient disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. The next reading this morning comes from Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and my honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb being blessed in honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. The book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19.
Let us stand for the reading of the gospel, please.
After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And there were so many, but the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate that the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." So ends the reading.
Please be seated. This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, may your word be our breakfast today to strengthen our weary hearts and to help us to see the truth, and that we would encounter Jesus Christ in your word today, as he is the word made flesh. Amen. How many of you ever had deja vu? That odd feeling that's peculiar, and you feel like, I've been here before. This feels like I've been here before. Or have you ever gone back to somewhere that you lived before? And you can feel the memories, or you can, things remind you of what it was like when you were there. But then you look around and things are different. You notice what's different. But it's always good to go back to places that are familiar. And it's interesting that there's been two times now that Jesus has revealed himself in John's text. And this is the third time. And it's, if we look at verse 1 in chapter 21, it says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias," that is, in the Sea of Galilee. And it says, "And he showed himself in this way." Now, this verse is kind of like a bookend to earlier, towards the beginning of John's gospel, where that same word for revealed or showed himself is where we get that word epiphany. Remember epiphany? The wise men came and they came to give their gifts to Jesus. The revealing or the manifestation of Jesus. And here it says, Jesus revealed himself and manifested himself again to the disciples. And we heard earlier from Dale's wonderful children's message today, He got to the heart of it. There was Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, doubting Thomas, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee. Who could forget the sons of Zebedee? And two other of his disciples. And here we have Peter saying, "I'm going fishing." When all else fails, you go back to what you know, right? Peter was the fisherman. He was the fisherman who dropped his nets and left them to follow Jesus. Peter goes back to where he started, back where it all began, and he's going fishing. If there's one thing Peter knows how to do, it's fish. So, of course, his friends go with him, and they're fishing at night, which wasn't peculiar. That was actually a common practice in those times, and you usually got a good catch at night. And they would throw these nets. They didn't use poles. They had these big nets. These drag nets, and they'd have floats on top and weights on the bottom. And on the boats, they had the oars, usually were on the right. The steering oars were on the right. And so they would cast their nets on the left. It was just practical. It's how they've always done it. They've always done it this way. And they cast their nets, but they don't catch anything. And they're fishing all night. That's a long time to fish. It's a long time to stay awake, let alone fish. And just after daybreak, after they had caught nothing. They were completely empty-handed despite all their efforts, despite all their know-how, despite all their experience. They had nothing. And just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But our text tells us the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Now, when I was preparing for this sermon, and I was looking at the English translations, and I went back and looked at the Greek, there's a lot of nuance, and there's actually some synonyms here. And there's different words in the Greek for no. And the meaning of the word no in this case is the disciples did not recognize that it was Jesus. They did not perceive that it was Jesus. Jesus appeared to them in a way that was new for them, unfamiliar. They did not know it was Jesus. They did not see it was Jesus. And it says, Jesus said to them, children or lads, you have no fish, have you? Now here's another word. There was different words for fish. You know, in English we just have a fish is a fish is a fish. But here, there's a word that means fish to eat. You have no fish worth eating, do you? They said, no. He says to them, cast the net to the right of the boat. To cast the net on the other side. To cast the net to the side where the searing oars are. It's unconventional. It's something they've tried everything else. Might as well try this. So they receive this peculiar instruction from this guy who looks like a stranger on the shore at a distance, who they don't recognize. And he says, cast the net to the right side, like your right hand of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now, before they hadn't caught anything, in all their power and all their strength, in all their experience and all their resources that they had, they didn't catch anything. And now, by listening to what the stranger who was Jesus said to them, now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. And the word here was fish, good for food. And the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. He remembered when Jesus gave them a miraculous catch before, or when Jesus multiplied the two fishes and the five loaves. He remembered. He said, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. Peter went back fishing. He went back to what he knew. He used all of his strength and all of his know-how to try to provide for his friends. And now he hears it's the Lord, and he had to put on some clothes because he'd been working so hard. He was strenuous. He was exerting himself, and he was probably exhausted in that boat. Broke up quite a sweat. So he put on his clothes, for he was naked. And then what does he do? He jumps into the sea because it's the Lord. He jumps into the sea with his own clothes, everything that's, and he gets into the sea. Can you imagine swimming with all your clothes on? Swimming 100 yards because that's how far away they were from the shore? Swimming with all of his clothes on. All his baggage, everything that he had. He put it back on and he jumps into the sea and goes to the Lord. It says, but the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, that fish that's good for food. That net that they were not able to haul in. So they had to drag it with the boat. And they weren't far from the land. It was only 100 yards off. So it's a football field away. But that's still a long way to swim in all your clothes. And when they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. So here they've been fishing all night, not catching anything. Now they catch all this other fish. There's a guy on the side of the shore who's Jesus, and he's waving at them at one point and giving them an instruction to throw it on the right and you'll catch fish there. And now all of a sudden he has a fire and fish and bread. They didn't see it before, and now it's there. He is providing for them. He is our host. Amen? We come to the Lord's table, and Jesus is our gracious host and provides for all of our needs. And Jesus says to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. And the word for fish here is fish to eat with bread, or fish to cook. To cook on that charcoal fire. Now, the charcoal fire is a detail that's easy to overlook. But the last time we see a charcoal fire in John's gospel was when Peter denied Jesus three times when he was being questioned by the Sanhedrin, when he was being questioned and tortured by the Jewish leaders and interrogated, humiliated. And three times they said, oh, aren't you one of his disciples? Aren't you Galilean? No, I never knew the man. And of course, Jesus warned him and said, I truly tell you that you will deny me three times before the cock crows. He denies him three times while he's warming himself by this charcoal fire. Now talk about deja vu. Our memories are associated with the senses. Our memories are associated with things like taste and smell and touch. I was just talking to Roger Swanson the other day, and he told me about how when he was little that there was a fire in the kitchen, and this smell of paint and wood in the kitchen, whenever he smells paint and wood burning, it reminds him of that time when he was little and there was that fire and that one moment where he felt unsafe for a little bit. His mom put out the fire. But whenever he smells that, it takes him right back to that. He relives it. Sometimes when people experience trauma, there are things that trigger, for some people, post-traumatic stress. Or flashbacks. So can you imagine what Peter was experiencing when he got to shore and there was Jesus with a charcoal fire? And the last time he saw a charcoal fire was when he denied him. Jesus met him where he failed. Jesus met him and was waiting for him to face his fears, to show that he was with him that whole time, even when he denied him. Now, Simon Peter went aboard, it says, and hauled the net ashore. So Peter swam with all his clothes. Can you imagine how tired he was? Swimming with all of his clothes. And then the net that they had to drag with the boat that had 153 fish in it. That's a lot of fish. And the net didn't even break. Somehow the net held. And he's dragging it all that they couldn't carry. And he's dragging it all for Jesus. He's exerting himself with more than he knew possible and is surpassing what others might have thought he was capable of. He drags it ashore and there's 153 fish, but yet the net was not torn. When we cast our nets on the right side where Jesus calls us to, the other side, we might not think we have the resources to get the job done. But if God calls us to serve someone or to share with someone or to love someone or to provide for someone or to be served by someone, we will not be disappointed. And when we think we have meager resources or it's not going to get the job done, when Jesus is providing for us, when his Holy Spirit is leading us, when we are being obedient to God, God will not fail us. Our nets will not break. And as we reach more people for Jesus Christ, God is going to help us to grow in our hospitality. And as we learn how to forgive others and to forgive ourselves and to seek forgiveness from God, God is going to mend our nets and heal our relationships. But we have to be willing to cast our nets to the other side, to the right side, as Jesus directs us, and not just rely on our own strength and our own resources and our own experience and our own know-how, but be willing to try new things in new ways, even in familiar places and with familiar people. And Jesus says to them, come and have breakfast. Now, it says none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Now, somehow, through their heart, they recognized that it was the Lord, that this was Jesus. And it says Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And did the same with the fish, that is, the fish that was meant to be eaten with the bread or cooked. And it says this was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And it says when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I'm just going to pause there. He's going to ask him how many times? Three times. Jesus has prepared this meal for him so that he can go back and relive with Jesus his trauma, his pain, his hurt, his suffering, his failure. And Jesus is going to reinstate him gently three times. Now, Peter's not going to completely get it. He's still falling short. But Jesus meets him where he is, in his brokenness, in his confusion, in his inability to measure up to Jesus on his own. So here we see, he says, Simon, son of John. He doesn't say Peter. He says Simon, son of John. That was his name when he first met him. He's starting over with him. He's giving him a fresh start. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now the word for love here in the Greek is agapas, or where we get the word agape. Another word for love in this culture is phileo, where we get philosophy, or Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And agape is this love of God, this self-sharing, laying down your life, giving everything kind of a love. And this is the love that Jesus was using and talking about when he prepared his disciples for his departure, when he told them about the Holy Spirit and how God was going to fulfill his promises before he was crucified and was going to die for them. And he would say in John 15, he says, as the Father has loved me, that is agape'd me, so I love you. And those who love me obey my commandments. And he tells them, this is my commandment, that you would love one another, that you would agape one another, that you would lay down your lives for one another. Greater love is no love than this, that you'd lay down his life for his friends. That's the kind of love Jesus is talking about. But Peter responds with a different word for love. And he was being completely honest with Jesus. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And the word for know is the same word for know we heard before, the same root for recognize. You recognize all. You know that I love you. You perceive that I love you. And the tense here is a perfect tense. You knew, you know now, and you will always know, Lord, that I love you. But the word he uses for love is the phileo. It's an affectionate love. It's a self-receiving, self-affirming love. It's the love between friends or companions. It's the you mean the world to me kind of love. But it's different. It's nuanced from the I'm willing to give my all for you kind of love. I'm holding nothing back. I will always and forever love you with all that I am. That I can't help but love you. But Jesus says, I guess in a way that we can explain it today is, I love you as only a friend or a brother could love you. And Jesus says to him, feed my lambs. And a second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? That is, do you agape me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And again, Peter says the phileo. He says the friend love, the brother love. And Jesus says to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this time Jesus uses Peter's words. Do you phileo me? Do you love me as your closest companion? Do you love me as your friend, as your brother, as your companion? Do you love me as someone who gives you what you need? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You recognize everything. You always have and you always will. But Peter uses a different word now. He says, you know that I love you. This word in the Greek, know, is where we get the word knowledge. It's gnoskes. It's where not head knowledge, but relational knowledge. You know right now. You experience right now. And the tense is in the present. You know right now in this moment that I love you as a friend and as a brother and as a companion. That's my capacity to love you right now. That's all that I am. Right now, I love you with all that I am. But it's not the way that you love me. And Jesus says to him, feed my sheep. Jesus meets us where we are. Jesus knows that as much as we can love him, we do. But that there's always more of God's love that we need. Now, there is going to come a day in the scriptures where Peter will love as God loves. When Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of Acts, and he is prophesying and testifying to the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is the crucified Messiah, he shows that love. And we find out, Jesus prophesies over him and says, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. It's kind of like, you used to throw your nets on the left and do whatever you wanted. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it wouldn't. But when you grow old, that is when you're dependent, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fashion a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. This is when you're going to cast your nets on the right and have no other choice. You've tried everything else and now you're ready to take a new instruction and to be willing to be led. Are we willing to be led? To go where we don't want to go. To love whom we might not feel we're ready to love. To forgive those who we feel we're not ready to forgive. Are we willing to lay down our lives for others so that others might know Christ? Are we willing to die to ourselves and our ways of casting our nets on the left? And to be willing to live in Christ and have Christ live in us so we can cast our nets to the right. And to have an abundant catch, more than we know what to do with, so that we have to rely on God in Jesus Christ through his Spirit. Are we willing to let someone take our hands as they're stretched out, open-handed, and fasten a belt around us and take us where we do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. Peter's story wasn't over. Peter would glorify God. Peter would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter would not deny the crucified Savior anymore. Peter would be reinstated. Peter would be a beloved disciple. Peter would be the one who would be faithful to the end and lay down his life for the sake of others so that they would know that Jesus is Lord and that God loves them. He would glorify God. He would become agape, the love of God for the world in his life. He would become a little Christ, a Christian. And it says, after Jesus said this to him, he said, "Follow me." Friends, I pray that today you will hear Christ's words fresh for you, that you will be open to his Holy Spirit so that you will cast your nets on the right, and we as a church will cast our nets on the right, and that God will give us an abundant harvest, an abundant catch of blessings and opportunities to serve and people to love than we know what to do with, but our nets will not break because he is doing it. So I pray that we will one day love him, not just as a companion and a friend, but love him as he loves us, with the never giving up, never stopping, always and forever kind of self-denying, self-giving love that Jesus showed for us. And that we would hear him say to us, "Follow me." And we would follow him. Thanks be to God. Amen. So Peter, he went fishing all night, didn't catch anything. Jesus appears, tells him to cast their nets on the right instead of the left. He comes and has breakfast and is reinstated, beginning with how he can love God as he is, where he's at. But he's no longer just a fisherman. He's called to be a shepherd. He's called to be one who feeds lambs, those weak in the faith, giving them the milk and the sustenance that they need, giving them the basics of the faith, the love of Jesus Christ, and meeting their needs. And then he is told to shepherd, or to tend the sheep of the flock, to oversee the people that would become his church. And then he's told to feed my sheep, my flock. That we come to a time, even as a church, that we can be at an end in ourselves. And so Jesus calls him to give them what they need, to continue to give them more, to lead them to receive the Holy Spirit. And that's my prayer for us, that we would be ready and prepared by Christ so that we can be ready after we cast our nets on the right, and as the fish come in, that we will be ready to take people in and to welcome them and to love them and to show hospitality to them and to nurture them and help those who are weak in faith grow in their faith, and to help us to continue to grow in our faith and the things that we forget to be reminded of and to be strengthened and nourished by the power of God's word and his Holy Spirit. So receive this benediction today. May God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, and the one who causes us to catch more fish than we know what to do with, may his Holy Spirit empower and equip you to love God and serve others in ways that you never dreamed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen.